Good morning. Our scripture this morning is from the first chapter of Matthew, right at the beginning of the New Testament, beginning with the 18th verse. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." That's from Isaiah 7:14. That means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may we be blessed by our hearing of it. According to an old legend, one I recently got from Chuck Swindoll, Satan and his demons were having a Christmas party. You know, just for the fun of it and for the ridicule of it. As the demonic guests were departing, one grinned real big and ugly and said sarcastically to Satan, "Merry Christmas, Your Majesty." At that, Satan looked up and replied with a growl, "Yeah, better keep it merry, because if they ever get serious about it, we'll all be in trouble." And all I can say about that, Bosquito family, is do get serious about it. As we start off getting ready for Christmas on this first Sunday of Advent, this time of four Sundays and weeks of preparation and expectant waiting, we should indeed be very thoughtful and pay attention as to how we are merry. Merry with hope, merry with joy, with faith, and with love. And our hearts are full of that kind of merry because this wonderful month of December is a special time given to us by God the Father to prepare our hearts and to wait with anticipation for these next 24 days and then for the joyful celebration of the Nativity of Jesus on the 25th day, the day of the God-given baby, born among us on the first Christmas, into a manger, in an animal stable, because there was no room for Joseph and expecting Mary in the comfortable inn. That's what our first time of Advent, the Advent that will finish soon, is about. And then there's a second Advent, another Advent we rarely talk about. That Advent is the extended time, not just 24 days, but a no time given yet of preparing ourselves and waiting expectantly for every day for the rest of our lives, waiting and praying for the return of Jesus to us here on earth once more. That's the final time. That's the second Advent that we'll continue to wait for. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, coming to consummate his kingdom. But wait. Listen up. Amazing as it sounds, catch your breath now. It is December 1st, and we are beginning to talk about it, to feel the fun of it, to feel the pressures of it, to see the decorations and the lights of it, and hear all the stories about the fun of Christmas, about the decorations of Christmas, about the shopping of Christmas, and our family plans for Christmas, and the miracles of what is actually and only the real story of Christmas. That real story, the only real story of Christmas, surges and overflows with wonderful, awe-inspiring miracles. Miracles like these, the angelic appearances to tell of some of the miracles that are coming. The announcement of the coming birth of the baby who was eventually to become John the Baptist, as Gabriel announced to the high priest Zechariah. The birth of John the Baptist when his parents were very advanced in age. The angelic announcements, several of them coming about the coming birth of Jesus. All of these are miracles to Mary, to Joseph, and then at his birth, announcements to the shepherds. And then that sky-filling anthem of praise to those shepherds by the angelic choir, singing glory to God in the highest. And the star, that star that guided the magi, the wise men, the three kings, that one. That journey from far away of Eastern wise men being led hundreds of miles by a special star to right where the miraculous baby had been born. And then those seeking and finding magi warned in a dream and instructed not to return to Herod, but to return home a different way. And Joseph, directed by an angel to go with his wife and his newborn baby to go to the land of Egypt, and then told at the right time to depart from Egypt, and he's cautioned in a dream about the now deceased Herod's son, who is also being very wicked. And then the greatest miracle of all, the birth of Jesus, a human baby who had a human mother, but not a human father. The birth of Jesus Christ is the most meaningful and most unique birth in the annals of all humanity and all of the history of time. Christ has already existed from what is hard for us to understand, existed from eternity. John, as he begins his gospel story that we read this morning in our Advent reading, John 1:1 tells us that he was in the beginning with God at the beginning of all time. Whatever it is that our minds can grasp, whatever we can understand about time, Jesus himself said, Verily, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. That's John 1:8-58. The miracles of Christmas are many, and they're diverse, and they have a tremendous and incredible message for us, well, for everyone. And so I urge you, as this Christmas approaches, try as much as possible to read and reread and hear and tell what all the miracles have to say to you, to us. And to try to help you, I'm going to give you many scripture references. Now, as always, I encourage you to have a pen and paper and write these down so that you can review and reread them and marvel at the miracles of Christmas. If you don't get them written down right now, I'm going to give you a printed copy. I have printed copies, which I'll give you as we finish. They're going to be available at the end of the service. Well, the miracles of Christmas speak of what we reverently call the miraculous conception. That is, a special baby is going to be born miraculously, born among us. And here's a list of some of those miracle-telling verses. Genesis 3:15. That starts it, but you have to read that one with some insight. And then Isaiah 7:14, and Matthew 1:18-25, and Luke 1:26-27, and then Luke 1:34-38, and then Galatians 4:4-5. You got all those written down, didn't you? I got them right here. And this is one of those verses right in the middle of those. The angel Gabriel told Mary, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Luke 1:35. Overshadow is, in gospel language, it's a metaphor. It's a figure of an enveloping cloud. That cloud of glory represents to us a feeling, an all-encompassing sense of God's power, much like the overshadowing cloud of the God of Exodus. This miraculous conception is plainly spoken of in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke and some of those references that I just gave you. And this is very important. The fact that Luke was a physician, one who knew the awesome mechanics of human pregnancy and birth, this gives added meaning to the miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit with Mary as a true godly virgin. That has always been known as an absolute, unconditional, and pure miracle. It is the power of God acting in accord with His perfect laws, not our humanly speculative and flawed laws that some would try to use to explain it or to explain it away. Luke 1:37 instructs us as to how different it is between human possibilities and God's possibilities. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing is impossible." Amen. This miraculous conception declares Jesus to be God Himself. And you see this as you read Matthew 1:23 and Luke 1:35 and John 1:14. This miraculous conception declares Jesus to be a sinless person. He was born miraculously and lived His whole life within our sin-ridden humanity and lived within it without experiential sin, never experienced sin. He declared Himself to have lived sinlessly when He was in the temple courts. He was teaching to many who were gathered there, teaching them about truth. And to those who were doubting, He said, "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" John 8:46. But His listeners could not lay one sin to His blame, not one to His liability, not one blunder, not one mistake, not one error did He commit, because Jesus began life sinless, miraculously conceived, and remained sinless to the end. And then the miracles of Christmas speak to us of the glorious incarnation. Matthew 1:23, John 1:14. Jesus became flesh, was incarnated, given living form and living will, and lived His human life in that form, in total control of His human will, all while He was having His home among us. He was God coming to us on earth in human flesh. He is God and man, combining in one personality the two natures, God's nature and man's nature. And here's a miracle within that incarnation miracle. The incarnation of Jesus Christ demonstrates and presents completely to us mankind's capacity for us just humans to be actually knowing God. He knew God when He was here. He was a human. We can. We can know God. We do know God as He reveals Himself through His Word. Jesus Christ, the God-man that our Holy Bible reveals to us as we read it, is the Word. And then the miracles of Christmas speak of wondrous, incredible salvation. Matthew 1:21, Luke 2:10-11, Luke 19:10, I'm going slower so you can write it down, John 3:16, Galatians 4:4-5, 1 Timothy 2:3-6, Well, in just some very quick succession, I'm going to give you these truths of salvation. And each one of these is miraculous. Jesus came to save. Matthew 18:11. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Jesus Christ came to save by taking on himself and thus taking away our sin. John 1:29. 1 John 1:7. Jesus Christ came to save by his own life's blood. Ephesians 1:7. Colossians 1:14. 1 John 1:7. And Jesus Christ came to save because there is no one else who can save you. Nothing else that can save you from a future of an eternity of misery without God's presence and God's glory all around you. That's Acts 4:12. So our experiences, our thoughts, the actions we take, the plans we make in the now that is upon us in the month of December are immersed in the truth for us as Christians. All of that is in the fact that Christmas is coming again. That is, if Jesus doesn't come again in the next few days. Well, what are we to make of this? Well, may I suggest to each of you, and I want this for me. Well, I want it for you. Let the miracles of Christmas speak, and speak often throughout the days ahead. Speak to your heart. Speak out of your mouth as you witness, and out of your actions, telling to all the true story of Christmas. Let the Christ of Christmas be your miracle Savior. Be your miracle Lord for you, for me. The greatest of all the miracles is given to us sacrificially and out of the purest of love, His Son, given to us, God's only Son. Amen. And the demon said it sarcastically back then. We say it lovingly right now as it comes swiftly to us. Merry Christmas. And God bless you. Amen. All right.